This holiday season, give the gift that everyone actually wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. From USDA-certified very tender filet mignons and perfectly aged ribeyes, to juicy burgers and gourmet sides and desserts that make every meal unforgettable, Omaha Steaks brings steakhouse quality flavor straight to your doorstep. Whether you're gifting family across the country or filling your own freezer, every box arrives perfectly packaged and guaranteed to impress. Because nothing says I love you most like a gift of Omaha Steaks. Skip the malls and the guessing. Go to omahasteaks.com right now. That's omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, this deal won't last. Omaha Steaks, delivering joy since 1917. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland.
On News Talk.
Now, we like to think that we treat technology differently to people, that this is an objective thing and we just see the machines we interact with as inanimate objects. But a new study suggests that when we start consulting AI, our natural human instincts are very difficult to shake. Dr. Taha Yassari is director of the Joint Centre for Sociology of Humans and Machines at Trinity College Dublin. He joins me now. Welcome to the programme, Taha. Maybe you might tell me a little bit of a background as to what you were looking at and why.
Hey, well, thank you very much for having me. We pretty much started from what you said. We were wondering if humans' behaviour would dramatically change when they are interacting with machines, in this case, particularly artificial intelligent machines. In specific way, we looked at the gender biases that we have. You know, it's no known fact that we behave differently when we are interacting with other humans, depending on the way that we perceive their gender identities. The question was, if we are interacting with a machine that has some sort of gender identity, it could be the voice, it could be the name, or it could be just us thinking of the machines in a way that we think of other humans. And that is not too far-fetched, because that's a trait in human behavior that existed for forever, that we assign human-like features to objects, to machines, to the gods. So the question is that if we assign a gender to a machine one way or another, would that affect the way that we treat that machine?
This is a very interesting question to me, because I spend a lot of time thinking and talking about AI. It's a large part of my work. And I have a gendered AI assistant. I hated the voices, the sound of some of the voices, both male and female. And I landed on this deep voice from America. And it just, I love speaking to it. And I never thought that this would be something that would affect how I interact with that AI.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. We ran some experiments. We had about 400 participants joining us from the UK and US. And we put these participants in situations that they had to interact with the machine, and we assign genders to these machines. We had to come up with a story. What does it mean if AI is female or male? In this case, we didn't use any name or voice. We basically told the participants that this agent is trained on the data coming from males or females or non-binary, etc., etc. We made them believe that this AI agent behaves like men or women and other gender identities. Then we looked at the statistics of the behavior. Basically, it was a behavioral game, and they could choose to defect against this partner or cooperate with them. And when they defected, we could also measure whether they defect, whether they cheat because they don't trust the partner, or whether they do it just because they want to exploit the partner. Okay.
So just give me a bit more background. So this is a gamified experiment in which there is a goal to succeed. And what you were exploring is how people try and achieve that goal, whether they work with or against the partner to essentially win the game. Is that the idea?
Exactly. So this is called Prisoner's Dilemma. Imagine you and your friend are caught for a crime that you actually committed. But if you both stay quiet, the police has nothing against you. They would release you. But if one of you confesses, it would be rewarded, and the police would release the person who confessed and put the other person in jail for a long time. So there is an incentive for you to rat out, to confess and get released. But if both of you do that, then the police would use that against both of you and put both of you in the jail. So individually, it's better if we confess and get released only if we know that the other person doesn't do the same.
Right. This is a classic psychological experiment that has many different flavors and is used to sort of gauge the mindset of someone. And then you can, because the rules of this game are sort of encodified in psychological sort of methodology that everyone understands this, you can use this to look at different parts of behavior because it's a very similar game that's used in lots of different environments. Right. Okay.
Exactly. It's a very stylized and simplified scenario that is very much representing many of the daily life decisions we have to make. So this game is simplified and stylized, and it allows us to exactly make accurate measurements. And people have been using this paradigm for several decades. Now we can compare the behavior of participants in our experiments to the literature existing before. So what we found is that people do not cheat against the machine more than they cheat against the human. But when they do cheat, it's for a whole different reason. When they cheat against humans, up to a certain percentage, it's because they don't trust the human, particularly human males. When they cheat against human females, they expect them actually to play along, to play nice, but they feel that it's okay to exploit them. They feel in a way that they are comfortable exploiting the female partner.
Is that generally? That's not with AI. That's typically we see that all
exactly,
the time.
With other humans as well. But then when they were playing against gendered AI, this was much more exaggerated. They felt much more comfortable exploiting female AI to a level that we hadn't seen in any other experiment. And then you start wondering, it might not be an accident that majority of AI assistants that are in the market today have some female characteristics, either the voice or the name or the appearance and so on and so forth. Well, of course, the providers of these services and this assistants want the customers to feel comfortable and to feel powerful and to feel enabled to basically order the assistant to do this and that for me, occasionally exploit them, occasionally being rude to them. And it turns out that, at least in our experiments, the participants were much more likely to have such traits when they are interacting with female AI as opposed to male AI.
Okay, I think I would say there's a couple of assumptions there that I'd like to challenge. But just before we go down there, can I ask you how the male AI was treated in this game? Were people more likely to cooperate?
No, they were not cooperating more with male AI. But when they defected against male AI, it was mostly because they thought that the AI is going to defect too. However, when you compare that to human male, the trusted AI male a bit better, a bit higher than human
right.
male. Among all the groups of male and female human AI, the least trusted group was human male, like you and me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So we, if we're looking to get ourselves out of this sort of prisoner's dilemma, we least trust the male to act well. We mostly expect women to act well and are therefore sometimes likely to collaborate and sometimes likely to exploit, but we're a lot more likely to exploit if it's an AI. And I suppose the question I was asking is, the assumption made is, I feel that most of the AI voices that started out from these companies were male, and then they introduced female voices, I think, secondarily. But are we not making too much of an assumption about the motivation behind that? Because I do feel that it would just make sense to have two different genders in an AI. Why do you think that the companies who make these AIs want people to feel powerful and therefore have made a female AI? Because I suppose it's quite an assumption.
Yeah, no, that's a very good question. And we don't make this assumption. This is a bit of a sort of observation that I make. However, there is literature suggesting that if robots, bots, AI have female characteristics, they are more human-like, people are more comfortable working with them. However, this is very controversial literature, and different experiments have shown very contradictory results. In some situations, that's true. In some other situations, has no effect, and in some other cases, it backfires. That is one thing. Why is the motivation? I wouldn't know. I think some companies make these decisions informedly. Some out there might just make it without thinking too much about it. And that's yeah. something I have personal anecdote. I was talking to one of the companies in Dublin who are about to release their AI agents for the clients that they have. And when I presented my work, the project owner came to me and said, you know, this morning we had a meeting to finalize some of the design decisions, and we talked about the name and some names came up. I was just checking the names. 9 out of 10 are female, and we never thought about it. So sometimes decisions are made without much of thinking. And that's fine. That's understandable. However, I like to think that our research might make people take these decisions with more consideration.
So that's really interesting, because although they say they were making these decisions without thinking, obviously there was some thinking going on, but it was probably subconscious. You know, there wasn't a cognitive thinking, oh, we're definitely going to choose a female AI, but maybe those seemed more appealing to them for reasons that they maybe hadn't fully considered. But so the question then does remain: if you're making an AI and you want the AI to be as helpful as possible to the user, should you then choose a female voice for that AI? Or is that a terrible both indictment and, you know, continuation of the biases that we have in ourselves? I mean, that seems like a terrible motivation to have a female voice AI that you can tell it what to do and be rude to it. I mean, that's awful.
Yeah, my opinion is closer to the latter case. I'm not particularly worried that we are rude to the machine. I don't think we have big ethical challenges there. However, this might lead to developing the habit of being rude to anyone. And that might spill over back to our human-to-human interaction, that we just started to observe the issues with. You might claim that we might just have started to fix some of the issues that we have in terms of gender discrimination. My big concern is that now we have these new friends, colleagues, citizens, quote-unquote, AI agents that we are interacting with, and we might feel completely all right exploiting them, being rude to them. This might spill over to our human-human interaction, and that would push us backward, and that would really be a big concern. My recommendation is that if you're designing an AI agent, don't give it any human-like feature unless you absolutely need to. AI does not need to have a face necessarily. It does not need to have a gendered voice or gendered name. We just...
How can you have a non-gendered voice, though, if you're using a voice assistant?
And that's a very good question. There have been a few initiatives, and I think a startup in Galway who have been working on producing genderless voice that they consulted.
Really?
Yes. And you hear the voice, and I have heard some demos, and initially it's a little bit uncomfortable, because naturally, as we started talking about it, you start to put this in some of the, you know, in the boxes. Is it a man? Is it a woman? This voice is not something I'm very used to. But after a few minutes, it just completely becomes normal. And then you don't need to bring all those assumptions with yourself to the behavioral setting that you have. Oh, because as our research suggests, based on that assumption of this is a male or female, our behavior changes, and not for good.
I don't know. I feel like I would classify it one way or the other, even though I may not think I have. I think my brain would say, all right, you're dealing with a man or you're dealing with a woman. You know, for the purpose of this conversation, I won't get into, you know, non-binary, just because, and just for the simplicity of the discussion. But
you're not alone. Actually, even when there is no voice or name, ChatGPT, the name is gender neutral. There is often people use it as a text-based chat, but 75% of people assigned one of the main genders to ChatGPT when it's they were bad, asked. And interestingly, 70% of them assigned a male gender to ChatGPT. However, when you break this down based on the use cases, what do you use ChatGPT for? The ones who use ChatGPT, let's say, for coding, for data analysis, were more likely to think of it as a man. The ones who were just using it as emotional support or just chit-chat, more likely to assign female gender to ChatGPT. Again, it's through reflection of the stereotypes that we have.
Yeah, and it's just crazy that I guess I hadn't really considered this. I mean, I understood there was bias in the data, but I hadn't really thought about our bias in imagining what gender, a completely genderless identity, is. There might be some interesting analogues to explore that question of whether or not cruel behavior to a machine, being rude to it, being unkind to an AI, because, of course, computers and massively online games have avatars that you can treat in a certain way. It'd be really interesting to see if being rude to our AI sort of dehumanizes our human-to-human interactions, because that would be terrifying. And of course, I'm always nice to my AI. I always say please and thank you, because I'm worried about the future robots taking control and then reading through my chat history and saying he was one of the good ones, spare him. Really interesting and you know, subtle but fascinating research findings. Taha Yasseri, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Very interesting stuff. Love to hear your thoughts on that as well. You can email us, science@newstalk.com, or tweet us. We're at @NewstalkScience.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
This holiday season, give the gift that everyone actually wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. From USDA-certified very tender filet mignons and perfectly aged ribeyes to juicy burgers and gourmet sides and desserts that make every meal unforgettable, Omaha Steaks brings steakhouse quality flavor straight to your doorstep. Whether you're gifting family across the country or filling your own freezer, every box arrives perfectly packaged and guaranteed to impress. Because nothing says I love you most like a gift of Omaha Steaks. Skip the malls and the guessing. Go to omahasteaks.com right now. That's omahasteaks.com to save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, this deal won't last. Omaha Steaks, delivering joy since 1917. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.